this phrase, give us this day our daily bread, is a phrase that is very powerful in that if you understand it. Okay, it speaks of two things about God. And I want you to look at these two things. First, God is available. In other words, if I'm able to pray and trust God for my daily provision, how many of you agree I have to trust God that He's available? You know, I think sometimes we forget that God is not a God up there reluctantly working. God is up there willingly working on your behalf and on my behalf. This prayer has everything to do with absolute and total dependence upon Him. In other words, as we look at this prayer, you're going to realize that no matter what situation of life you're in, no matter what your means is, no matter what you have or do not have, you and I must continuously to daily trust Him, and you cannot trust Him if you don't see He's available. I think sometimes people have said to me, and I've learned from sometimes people have this mindset, well, I don't want to bother God with this. It's so trivial, so small. I got news for you. God's interested in the small as well as the big. For everything, God wants to provide and take care of His children. And you have to understand that God is available. And God is available in every way, shape, or form. Now, think about that just a minute. Here is God, the mighty Creator, okay, who is self-sufficient, who needs nothing, needs no one, who spoke and creation came to an existence. And here is that one, that true God, the only true God. And He is always, always available to you and I. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just to think about that is absolutely astounding to me. But now here's the second thing. Not only is God available, but God is able. In other words, if I'm going to trust Him, if there's power in this petition, that I'm going to trust Him for my every provision, it has to understand He's available, but you also have to understand He's able. In other words, there's nothing He cannot provide. There's nothing He cannot do. And so therefore, as I go to Him, I can go to Him on the basis that every need I have, I can find sufficiency in Him. Now, a lot of times we'll say, well, I understand that, preacher, but how many times do we try to get ourselves out of a situation, or how many times do we try to manipulate something to provide for ourselves instead of just trusting God to provide for us? I'll give you an example. How many churches out there, when they're doing mission trips or other things, they'll go out and sell things to the community and sell things to the public to try to raise money for a ministry within the church. Does not that say by itself that God is not sufficient for us? Because I want to tell you, if we're God's children, how many of you agree? God's sufficient to work through His children. And we're going out and asking a lost and a dying world to provide for us since, quote unquote, God is not able. I got news for you. God is able. And you and I need to trust that He is able. And so we need to come to that place of that understanding of the ability of God. Now, the word daily bread here, the word bread here, does not just speak of the bread upon your table. It does not just speak of the food that you daily eat. John Stott, I believe, got it exactly right when he said this, that daily bread speaks of all provision that is needed for the necessity of physical life. In other words, God is in and God is available to you and I and able to provide every necessity you and I could ever have or ever need to sustain our physical life. The question is, do we really believe He can do that? And so this is the power, this is the force in this petition. Now you say, well, wait a minute, preacher, I work for my provision. Well, can I tell you, even that you can thank God. You say, well, I don't understand. What do you mean by that? Well, listen to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. The Bible says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. In other words, if you work today, guess what? If it wasn't for Him, you wouldn't be able to lift a finger. If it wasn't for Him, you wouldn't have the job you've got. If it wasn't for him, you would have no ability to work for a living. Can I tell you, every good gift comes from him. And we need to understand that we have to be totally, completely, unequivocally dependent upon him and him alone. You've heard me say this a million times if you heard me say it once. He is enough. He is all we need. And so we need to trust him in that. So that's the force of this petition. Now, I want you to look at the second thing, the faithfulness in this petition. If I'm to go to him to trust him for my daily provision, then how many of you agree? I have to trust him that he's faithful in what he says. And he's faithful in what he does. And can I tell you, God can absolutely be trusted. Now this very verse, verse 11, by itself speaks of his grace and his mercy. Because listen, it's only by his grace and his mercy that he would provide for us. This passage in Lamentations spoke to my heart. Listen to what it said. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. How many agree today? If it wasn't for God's grace, all of us wouldn't be breathing right now. And all of us would be eternally separated from him. But notice this. It is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What does that mean? That God in his faithfulness, listen, it is fresh, it is new, it is real, it is absolutely that which you can experience every single moment and day of your life. So many times we try to live upon what God done in the past. I want to tell you something. What God done in the past is in the past. What matters is what is he going to do today? And if you read this petition real quick, give us what? This day, our daily bread. And that's the tone of this petition. It's trusting God and leaning upon his grace and his mercy that he is faithful in what he says. And what he says is always what he'll do. Now, I want you to look at a few things under this. First thing is this. It is God's desire to provide. It is God's desire to provide. I want to tell you, I'm glad we can call him Father. We've already looked at this term, our Father, which art in heaven. And when we looked at it, if you'll be reminded, as Father, he always wants to care for his children. And can I tell you, it is absolutely God's desire to be everything for you and me. Not only in your spiritual life, but in your physical life. God wants to be everything for us. In other words, he wants us to be the first one we go to. He wants us to be the first thing that we look to. He wants us to be the first thing that we call upon. He wants to be the first in every aspect of our life. He wants to be absolutely the corner of all of our trust and all of our affection and all of our faith. He desires to provide. I have so many people that tell me over the years, well, Pastor, I just don't know if God will do this. Well, listen to me. If God said it, he'll do it. It's not an issue. And God desires to provide. James chapter 1, verse 17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Means God is the same yesterday, today, and what? Did God take care of Israel in the Old Testament? Was Israel his people? What about when they disobeyed? Did God still take care of them? Amen. Is he the same God today? He desires to provide for you and I. Now, here's the second thing. Not only is it God's desire to provide, but it's God's delight to provide. Can I tell you? Not only does he desire to take care of you and me, but he delights in it. It's literally the joy of his heart and his essence of who he is. He delights in providing for you and I. Can I tell you, there's nothing that he loves more than when his child steps out on the branch of faith and trusts him for everything. Because that opens up the door for him to do what he so desires and what he so delights to do. He loves to take care of his children. Listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. If you want to know how much God delights in taking care of us in our physical needs, Listen to this verse. Romans 8:32. He, being the Father, that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us what? How many of you agree? The greatest gift God could have ever gave with his Son. How many of you agree? It delighted the Father to give his Son. Yes, Isaiah 53, isn't that what it says? It pleased Jehovah. You remember Isaiah 53? Now listen. So it was his delight to give his Son. Why? For you and I. All right, so wait a minute. That's the spiritual. We're talking about the physical. Read the rest of the verse. How shall we not with him also freely give us what? All things. So what is God going to leave out? Nothing. In other words, if God would go to the depths of loving you and I enough to give his own Son, what makes you think he would let us go without in the other things of our life? It's God's delight. It's absolutely his passion and his delight. Now you say, well, does that mean Christians will never ever go without? Well, the answer to that question is this. Sometimes they do. You say, well, wait a minute. God's delight is to provide. And it says here, he'll provide all that we need. So how does sometimes Christians go without? Because sometimes Christians get out of the will of God. How many agree the Bible says, now don't put your hand on your pocketbook. Y'all love me, say amen. How many agree the Bible says that if we don't give a tithe to the storehouse, we're robbing God? I want to tell you something. When you rob God, God will get it back. One way or the other. He'll get it back. Can I tell you? The Bible tells us over and over again, as God provided for Israel in the Old Testament, when they got into idolatry, what did God do? He sent famine. He sent pestilence. He sent captivity. Why? Because they got out of the will of God. Why did he do that? Because he was trying to remind them that he's all they needed. And they didn't need to turn to false gods. And they didn't need to turn to idols. That he was all they needed. And can I tell you, you read the Old Testament, every time they went into captivity, they'd be in captivity for years. And then all of a sudden it would dawn on them, this ain't right, this ain't right. God's forsaken us. And the whole time God's not forsaken them, God's trying to help them. And they finally get to a place of brokenness and they cry out to him. And every time God was there to provide upon their repentance. But when we're walking in fellowship with God, listen, God will always take care of your needs. Now notice this, I said needs, not wants. Two different things. Two different things. We'll get into that a little bit in just a minute. And so this is the delight of God, that he will provide for you and I. All that's kindly laying the groundwork for these last couple things, okay? I want you to look thirdly at the focus of this petition. Because here's where this verse came alive for me in a fresh and a new way. The focus of this petition. What's the focus? To pray in this motivation or this mindset, give us this day our daily bread. What is the focus? Well, how many agree it begins with focusing on him? Who's the only one that can give it? Him. So what in turn does that require? Faith. It requires faith that we trust him. How should I put my faith in him in this? Well, I want you to see some things real quick. Look first at faith in the sufficiency of God. Can I tell you this? One commentator coined this phrase. I thought it was wonderful. Faith is a refusal to panic. How many agree God never panics? So if we're walking in faith in him, guess what we won't do? Panic. Faith refuses to panic. Now, listen to me just a minute. Here's what's unique about this passage. If I read this and I say, give us this day our daily bread, and that's the manner in which we should pray. Give us this day our daily bread. How many of you would agree that immediately you would think this is a statement that means today ought to pray, give me this day, tomorrow ought to pray, give me this day, next day ought to pray, give me this day. In other words, present tense. It ought to be a continual call out to God in this. Wouldn't that make sense? Would you be surprised if that was wrong? It's aorist tense. What is aorist? It means a one time, never to be repeated. Wait a minute. If I'm to pray in this manner, how come it's aorist only one time? Because the decree here and the petition here is not to continuously go to God and ask for provision. But the plea here is God's already said he would provide one time. So what is the petition? That now I go to the Lord not asking for what he already said he would do, but thanking him for what he said he already would do. Because how many agree? He's sufficient. And so now I go to the Father in this way. I go to the Father in a way in which I don't have to plead. I don't have to beg. I don't have to beat down the doors of heaven just to have my daily provisions provided for by him, because he's already said he would meet them. So therefore I can go to him in absolute assurance of faith, and I can go to him and say, Father, thank you today that every need I have will be met according to your promise and according to the riches of your grace. And now all of a sudden the whole tenor of this prayer begins to change. And now it turns from what I do to who he is and what he can do. And this becomes the faith in the sufficiency of God. It's a prayer of faith and action that takes hold of the willingness of God and the sufficiency of God and says about him, Father, today you are sufficient. You are all I need. And Father, thank you today for what you're going to do. You say, well, Pastor, can I really step out on a limb of faith like that? Yes. Why? Faith begins by what? A word. Did God not say he would? So let's trust him in it. It goes back to these same truths that I've taught you over these last couple years. All right, should I pray, God, give me victory, or if I'm saved, do I already have the victory? Should I pray, give me joy, or if I'm saved, I already have the joy of the Lord? Should I pray, give me wisdom, or should I trust him that he is my wisdom? Y'all with me? Say amen. You see, you just trust him in what he said. And this becomes this faith that connects you with God. Now, let me give you an illustration to help you understand this. To pray this way and trusting God, you're trusting him what? For your daily provision. Today. Are you with me? Say amen. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next year. You're trusting him that he will provide for you what? Today. Now, listen, this is so important for us to understand. Because to understand this is this. We are not a storehouse. We're to stay connected to him. Now, you say, what do you mean? Let me give you an example. How many of you agree when you go to the gas pump, you put gas in your car, and your car stores that gas and uses it as it's needed? Y'all agree with that? Say amen. All right, let's contrast that with a streetcar. A streetcar has an electrical pole coming up from it, connects to a line that goes down the street. How many of you agree? A streetcar does not work on what is stored. A streetcar works on what it's connected to. You and I live off the principle of staying connected with him, because he's our continual sufficiency, moment by moment, day by day. Now you say, preacher, are you saying it's sin to save money? That's not what I said at all. Listen, sometimes God will provide for you in the realm of exceedingly abundantly, because he knows he's providing for you now for a day down the road. Sometimes that's the way God provides. But I want you to listen to me. The tenor of this prayer is trusting God's sufficiency for your day, today. And that means that no matter how much you have in the bank, or no matter how little you got in the bank, you can come to him in absolute dependence every day to understand that if he don't come through for you, you're bankrupt. It's a dependence on him. What happens is, sometimes if we come to a place of having sufficiency in those things, guess what? I tend not to have to trust him. Right? Because I've got it. Well, let me tell you something. God warns us about that. Look with me at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Look at this with me, verse 15. The Lord speaks a parable here. Verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, listen, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and what? Be merry. In other words, listen, I don't have to worry about this anymore. I'm good to go. I'm self-sufficient. Can I tell you? That takes you out of business with God. Look what it says. It says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich towards what? God. In other words, I want to say it again. It's not to say that we shouldn't save money. If God provides that way, praise him for it. Amen? But listen to me. What I'm saying is this. No matter what you have or no matter what you don't have, we ought to live every day in absolute dependence that God, if you don't come through, I'm in trouble. That's what this tenor of this prayer is. Today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but today, my daily bread. And so we see the faith in the sufficiency of God. Now, here's where this really gets kindly tedious. Faith in the sovereignty of God. Faith in the sovereignty of God. What do you mean? Well, if I'm going to have an attitude of prayer, trusting him that he's going to provide for me daily and everything that I need, how many agree there has to be some things that apply? Let me show them to you. The first thing is a faith that acknowledges. What? Acknowledges that God knows your needs. How many agree? He knows your needs better than you do. And he knows my needs better than I do. How does he know my needs better than I do? Because he knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow and next week. And he knows what's going to happen to you in an hour. Y'all agree with that? Say amen. So how many agree? He knows your needs. So here's the first thing. The first thing is a faith that acknowledges, God, you know what I need. And so I'm trusting you to provide what you know I need. You remember what we looked at a few weeks back before we got to the model prayer? He knows our needs before we what? Ask. You have to acknowledge that God is sovereign over what he knows. Now, why is this important? Because if you don't acknowledge that, then guess what? You may get disappointed in what God does. So this leads to the second thing. Not only does faith acknowledge, but faith accepts. A faith that accepts. In other words, whatever God provides that day, guess what? I can say glory. You say, well, what if it's not what I think was enough? It don't matter. He's sovereign. Glory. In other words, if you're going to trust him in this way, you have to trust him that what he does and how he does it is absolutely what he intended. You have to be willing to accept what he does. Now listen. This goes to the very heart and motivation of this. Being satisfied with what God does. You know, I don't know about you. I'm kindly keyed to the way that sometimes if I don't get my way, I'm not very satisfied. Any of y'all like that? But can I tell you, that's not faith. Because faith says, Lord, you promised you'd provide my daily needs, my daily bread. And I'm trusting you that you're doing that. And so, Father, whatever this day brings, whatever you provide this day, you know my needs. And I thank you in advance. And I'm going to be satisfied with whatever you do. I'm going to give you a verse that absolutely tore me out of my frame. As I began to study this, this verse just gripped my heart. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. Solomon. How many of you agree Solomon was after everything that was vain? Solomon was after the riches, and Solomon was after all these things. Vanity upon vanity is what Solomon said of his own life. Watch what Solomon prays towards the Father. Because Solomon came to the place of realizing he didn't know what his need was. And so Solomon calls upon God. Listen to what he prays. Two things have I required of thee. Now he's talking to God. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. What is it? Watch what he says. Remove far from me vanity and what? Lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Solomon. Don't give me poverty or riches. What do you want? He doesn't know what he wants, but he knows God knows what his needs are. And therefore, watch what Solomon says. He said, feed me with food convenient for me. You know my needs, God. I'm just going to trust you. And watch this. Lest I be full and deny thee. And say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of God in vain. In other words, God, you know my need. And you know what I would do if you made me rich. And you know what I would do if you made me poor. And God, I don't know what I would do if you made me rich or poor. So God, I'm just going to trust you that you are sovereign and I'm going to accept whatever you do. Isn't that an awesome passage? Absolutely tore me out of my frame. Listen, boy, to pray this way, transform your life. We have to be satisfied each and every day with what the Lord does. So you see, a faith that acknowledges, a faith that accepts. But here's the next one. A faith that is available. Now I want you to see this. This is something that you'll miss if you're not careful. Notice what it says. Now I'm going to read it wrong and you see if you can catch it. Give me this day my daily bread. Give us this day. Does that not take you past yourself? See, this prayer is more than about you. This prayer, when you pray in this manner, with this kind of heart, with this kind of mindset, it's automatically you praying, God, not only do I thank you today for what you're going to provide because you've promised in my life, but Father, I want to thank you today that I'm available if you want to provide for somebody else through me. Give us this day our daily bread. But see, this is a petition of prayer for a personal prayer. So what is it saying? It's saying, Lord, your desire and your delight is not just to provide for me, but provide for all your children. So I make myself available. Why? Because many times God provides through others. Have you ever thought that maybe you're a conduit for God to answer this prayer in somebody else's life? Now, I'm going to challenge us. Now, y'all promise y'all got to love me anyway, amen? Think about it. When it comes to service, or when it comes to areas in which you've got to step out of your comfort zone, how many of you would agree that your main focus tends to be you first and foremost? But can I tell you, this prayer gets you out of that. Let me give you some truths contained within this. Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of what? You know, it's amazing. The way the Bible lays it out is this. God is preeminent. He's first. Others are what? What? I didn't hear you. Others are what? Second. Where are you at? Last. That's the way the Bible lays it. In other words, what my desires and wants ought to fall at the bottom. How many times have you had people that have called upon you and called upon you and called upon you and called upon you, and you finally got to the place of saying, this just ain't fair anymore. Listen, this prayer will change that mindset. And this is the reality. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, listen. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Amen. What does that mean? That's a long verse that says you can't outgive God. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be what? What is a bountiful eye? For he that giveth his bread to the what? Poor. This is the tenor of this passage. Let me give you an illustration. True story. There was a stormy night many, many years ago. And this older couple walks into this hotel at 2 in the morning. And they walk in, and the clerk at the front desk, they walk up to the clerk and they said, "Sir, can we get a room?" It was storming and raining outside. It's 2 in the morning. They're tired. And the clerk says, "Well, sir, I'm sorry, but we're sold out. We're booked." And they said, "Okay." And they turned around to walk out to try to find another hotel. And the clerk said, wait a minute. I have a personal residence here in this hotel. It's raining. It's late. He said, "Why don't y'all stay in my personal residence? I've got to work tonight. You just stay in my personal residence." They said, no, we don't want to do that. He said, "Listen, I insist. You stay in my personal residence." Well, the next morning, the couple gets up to leave, and they turn the key back over to the clerk, and they tell the clerk, they say, "You know, one day I ought to build a hotel for you to manage." The clerk looked at him and said, "Yeah, that's a good joke, you know." And he just thought he was joking and left. Several years later, the clerk gets a telegram. And in that telegram is airline ticket to New York City. And when he gets to New York City, this couple that he was so kind to met them. And he drove them to the corner of 5th and 34th Avenue in New York City. And when that clerk got to the corner of 5th and 34th Avenue, he gazed, and there was this brand new huge building standing there. And the older man said to the clerk, "You know what that is?" The clerk said, "No, what is it?" He said, "That's the motel I built for you to run and manage." The clerk looked at the man and said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Edward Wardoff Astor. It's the motel we name is the Wardoff Astoria." Can I tell you? Are you saying God will do that for me? That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying this: you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. And so you see this. Now I want you to look at the fourth thing and I'm done. The fruit of this petition. So if I'm going to pray in this tenor, in this aorist tense, that I'm trusting God once for all, continuously, ongoing, always trusting Him for what He already said one time that He would do, provide my needs. So what is the fruit of this? Well, there's two things. Number one, you have rest from worry. How many agree if God's promised that He would provide your needs, you really don't have anything to worry about? Y'all say amen. What do you have to worry about? He spoke it into creation. You think He can't provide it? You say, "Well, preacher, is it that simple?" Yes! It's that simple. You say, "Well, I got to have a verse for this." Well, good question. Look later on in Matthew 6. He gives you the verse for it. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 25. The Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet your for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more important than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap. In other words, they can't work for their provision, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall not he much more clothe you, O ye of what? Therefore take no thought, saying, how many agree? No thought means worry. Don't take any thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Why shouldn't I take thought? Don't it matter? I mean, shouldn't I plan it out? Shouldn't I have everything, every I dotted and every T crossed? Shouldn't I know and plan out exactly how it's? No, that's not faith. He said, don't worry about it. For after these things do Gentiles seek. What are the Gentiles? The heathen. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He already knows it before you have the need. But what? Seek ye first what? And all these things shall or might be added unto you. What do we have to worry about? Father, thank you that today you're going to provide my daily bread. Thank you. Rest from worry. Lastly, rejoicing in worship. If I can walk every day in this kind of faith and trust, and I can rest from worry, and I can rest in Him, how many of you agree that that automatically is just going to produce a rejoicing in worship? In every moment of every day, what can I do? Worship, praising, thanking, worshiping. Worship Him. Why? Because He's doing what He said He would do. And He's worthy of worship. You say, well, preacher, you can't find that in the Bible. Yes, I can. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look what it says, verse 10 and 11. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. How many agree? That's talking about the Lord. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes what? Through us thanksgiving to who? So let me ask you a question. If God's the only one that can provide, and God has promised He'll provide, and you and I trust Him that He is providing, who's the only one who could get credit? Isn't that amazing? So give us this day our daily bread. Father, thank you. Thank you. That once and for all, you are, and you said, you would provide. Thank you. That today, you're sufficient for my needs. Thank you. That's faith. Father, to you be the glory, to you be the honor, to you be the praise. The Father, everything we have need of before we ever even knew it was a need, you had a provision for it. Father, all we got to do is trust you. Sounds so simple, but Father, so many times we find it so difficult. We shouldn't, but we do. Father, I pray tonight that, Father, you'd take these truths and, Father, you would wring out our hearts. that, Father, as your child, there's nothing, nothing that you're not willing to do in accordance with our genuine needs that you and you alone know. There's nothing that you're not willing to do to meet those needs. Father, even when I can't see it, I thank you that you can provide it and that you have. To you be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.